Let's open in prayer. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do tonight. Lord, I thank you that you are a mighty God that we serve. Lord, that you are a God who never grows weary. That you are a healer and a deliverer. That you sustain us, Lord. That you encourage, comfort, and strengthen us. Father, I just ask that you just rest upon hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit right now. Let your Spirit, Lord, just begin to speak to hearts and minds. Let your Spirit, Lord, begin to stir them to believe for great things. Lord, we desire to see great things of you. Lord, we desire to see your beauty, Lord, to behold you. Lord, let there be a revelation of who you are released in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to Genesis, the beginning of freedom. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Lord is taking each of us on a journey that is our life. The problem is that we become very, very goal-orientated in this day and age. You know, we set goals. You know, we're gonna buy a house. We're going to buy a car. We're going to get married. We're going to have a certain type of job. We're going to make a certain kind of income. We're going to, whatever our goals are, we have these goals. I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to fast a certain amount of days every week, or I'm going to spend this much time with the Lord, and we become very goal-driven. The problem with that is there's nothing wrong with goals. Because I have a big goal at the end of the age. I want to be seated with him in heavenly places. So, but the problem with a goal is you've got the goal, which is the end, and you've got the beginning, and you've got this whole journey in between, which is life. And that's what we have to embrace, is the journey. The Lord has been having me, especially this last year, on this whole process of embracing the journey. I mean, the journey is every day that I wake up, I get to walk with God again today. I get to encounter him in a new way. I get to learn something new that is going to help me to grow. I get to, every day is like a new beginning towards that end game, that end goal, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory, and God's glory being released to a lost and dying generation. We are in a day and age where all over Facebook there's stuff about racism, and there's stuff about presidential elections and politics, and all these things are being played out. There's people in this country and across the world that are angry. They're full of anger. They're hating people and killing people because they've got so much anger inside. And we, as the body of Christ, we've got he who encompasses all love dwells within us. It says that perfect love casts out fear. So when love is perfected in us, in his bride, it drives out the fear that is right now in our nation and in the world. It's God's love manifested in us. The problem is God's love is not being manifested in us. Our society needs you. Your neighbors need you. Your church needs you. Your culture needs you. So in the beginning, God created. So what I'm believing God to do today is to begin to do creative miracles in our lives. Because we need that. We can't do this without him. We try. We try a lot of times to make him a part. The area that I want to target today, each night we're going to target something different. In the future, we're going to be doing more of these Genesis, and each one's going to be different than the last one, so just so you know. But today we're going to be targeting where it talks about in Psalms, I believe. Well, there it is. Psalms 51:10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart. It begins with God creating with us in us a clean heart. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I mean, how many people want to see God? I mean, you know, I mean, behold his beauty. I mean, it's like that. That's like my longing is like, God, I want to see you. It's like, you know, Moses says, let me see you. And I'm like, that's what I long to do. I want to behold him. But it says you're going to have to be pure in heart. And then Psalms 51 tells us that God is the one who creates a clean heart within us. But our tendency is for us to try to make our heart clean. Right? We struggle to do right, to live right, to make everything right so that we can behold him. And we have a hard time understanding that God says, no, I'm the only one that can do this. I mean, there is a part that you have to play. You have to obey. You have to walk. You have in what I'm asking you to do. But we try a lot of times to walk in his commandments. We try to walk in the things of God without God enabling us to do it. And that's very frustrating. You know, it's very frustrating to live holy when God's holiness is not overtaking you. Because then it becomes a law, it becomes legalism, it becomes bondage. And in the midst of that bondage, we find ourselves playing out our lives, our journey on everybody else around us. So, creating me a clean heart is the same Greek, Hebrew word create is the same one that God created the heavens and the earth. Just like God spoke and the heavens and the earth were created, God says, I want to speak into your life tonight and I want to create a clean heart in you. Some of you, that's a struggle. Purity at many different levels. And God says, I want to speak into that area tonight. I want you to allow me to speak into that area. Right now, there's a war going on in some of your minds. It's like, I've tried so many times. I've yielded to God so many times. I've went through so many different programs to try to overcome the perversity that wars against my mind or that wars against my heart. And I've done it for a little while, and I failed. And here I am again. And what's going to be different? It's not about what's going to be different. It's about here's something the Lord's really been dealing with my wife and I a lot about lately. Is we have gotten to, in today's day and age in the church, we've gotten to a place where failure has become normalized. Failing in God has become normal. We're used to it. I'm used to failure. I'm used to setting out for a goal and not succeeding. Right? You know, I'm going to do this, and bam, I failed. I'm going to work on my marriage, and bam, I'm going to be a better husband, and wham, that didn't work out too well. I'm in trouble again. I'm in the doghouse. I'm going to be a better wife, and wham, I fail in that area. I'm going to you know, be a better son or daughter, or I'm going to you know, whatever it is. I've got these goals set for God. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to behave this way, and then we fail, and we fail, and we fail, and we keep rising back up. The righteous rise 7 times, and it's like I've risen up 38 times, and I'm still keep falling. And that's how we feel. It's like we're in this repetitive cycle, and after a while, we start losing hope. And then we're in this day and age where there's fear around us and there's hatred around us, and God's saying, I want you to be relational. Are you kidding me? I'm having a hard enough time being relational with my friends and my spouse, and now you want me to be relational with everybody? And it's almost overwhelming and daunting task that we're like, I can't do this. And I just hear the Lord saying, awesome, you're in a good place then. You can't do this, but I can create this in you. See, there's this whole rest of God. Hebrews chapter 4 says that when Israel came out of Egypt, they didn't get to enter his rest because they didn't believe. And God's trying to get us to a place of rest. He wants you to enter his rest. Do you have any idea what that's like? What it's like to be able to be around people and be relaxed, not have to worry about what he thinks about me. You know, what is Warren like me today? Did I wear the right shoes? I remember he like, and all these different things. You know, or you got to minister to certain people. I mean, do I dress this way? Do I dress that way? What do I say? Did I do this right or did I not do that right? Or you go visit somebody's house. Do I take my shoes off? Do I leave my shoes on? You know, what if I say the wrong words? And we have these expectations And we live in this world of expectations, and it's driven us to this place that we can't be normal. I can't be who I am, because if I am who I am, you're not going to like me. I know you're not going to like me. And God's saying, I love you the way you are. Well, everybody else isn't going to love me. How do you know? How do you know unless you, now, granted, there has to be some wisdom, okay? I mean, some of you need to pull it back a little bit, okay? You're too talkative. I used to be that way. No, used to, really. I've gotten so much better. Yeah. Everybody laughs now, but you didn't know me before. My wife will tell you. I never stopped talking. I could even keep talking and breathe while I was talking. You know, I was really good at it. My wife was losing her identity when we first got married because I would talk for her. I mean, somebody would ask her a question and I would answer it. She would start out with the answer and then I would answer it for her. Because I knew what she was going to say. I'm a pretty smart guy. Needless to say, a few months later, we had the talking. She's like, you got to be quiet. So we had to have signals because, see, when you have a personality trait that you're used to just talking, you don't realize that you're doing it, right? Because it's normal. So I tell her, I said, I didn't mean to. And so then every time we go out, I'm apologizing to her. So we had came up with a communication system. So like she'd tug on her ear, and if tug on her ear meant like shut up, stop talking. You know, that year, I think her ear grew like 1 inch. She was like, you know, every time she'd be like this and looking at me, and I'm like, and then I would, when she was doing it, I'm like realizing as she's doing this, I'm talking. I'm like, oh. So I'd stop, I'd let her talk, and then while she was talking, I would be like inside, it would be eating me up. Because I can't talk, you know. And the ironic thing now, as God's taken me through a process, I realize that wasn't me. See, here's the thing. That was me in a lot of insecurities. You know, I had to win. I had to be the best. I had to control. And then as God started taking that out of me and taking me through things in life, my journey. When he starts putting you in places where he confronts your pride and he confronts the hidden things of your heart, when you want to control your spouse, you know how you do it. Some of you do it, you're passive manipulators. You do it without saying much. By certain verbiage. Others of you do it by demanding. Control kids, our kids. Mom and dad, they're 18 now, okay? If you haven't taught them by now, you're in trouble. You know, we want to control our people that work for us or work with us. We want to control things in ministry. Then I read a scripture that God says, I will give my glory to no other, and I'm asking God for his presence to come and for him to manifest himself. And he says, I'm not going to share that with anybody, not even you. Do you understand the weight of that? Yeah, I want to show up and I want to manifest myself, but if it ends up being about you, I'll remove it. It's very sobering. So then I start thinking about all those years that God was breaking me and I'm asking to see him and I'm asking for his presence. Didn't realize I was asking to be punished. I was asking for him to deal with all this stuff in my life. My prayer of wanting to see more of him, wanting to see his fire, wanting to see a move of God, wanting to experience him and behold him. What I was praying is say, Lord, break me, break me, break me, and break me some more. Now my prayers have changed. Lord, I want to see you, but could you do it gently, please? Because I've realized that the journey requires the breaking. But on the other side of it is you in Christ Jesus. James says that a man who looks in the mirror, it says, faith without works is like a man beholding his natural face in the mirror, and he sees what kind of man he is. And from a scriptural standpoint, that's you looking into the word of God and beholding and seeing who you are in Christ Jesus. But then you walk away and you forget about it. How many times have you been in God's presence where God has stirred your heart and he spoke to you and has changed you and you're like, oh, Lord, and you've been weeping. And then a day or two later, you're back in your slump because you forgot who you were. You forgot who he was. It's so easy. It's because everything around us is attacking us. Telling you that you don't have enough, that you're not enough. You don't have the right car. You don't have the right clothes. You don't dress right. You're not the right color. You got the wrong politics. You're going to the wrong church. You're reading the wrong version of the Bible. I mean, there's everybody's telling you you're supposed to be doing something a certain way. Right? Don't even get me on weight loss. Okay? There's 90 different ways to lose weight, and they'll confuse you. And it's like everything in life is like that now. It's like the internet. Oh, my goodness, it's so great. Oh, my goodness, it's so confusing. Because there's so much information available. And in the midst of this, we forget who God is. We forget that he loves us. We forget that he's simple. The complexities of God that we can't even understand. He's like, I just want to speak to you and communicate to you in a simple way and take you through a simple journey of trusting me. In Isaiah chapter 40, I thought this was interesting. I called it the time of questioning. He goes, have you not known? Have you not heard? Isaiah speaking, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Because before that in the scripture, right before that, it was saying, they were crying out, God doesn't see us. He doesn't notice me. He doesn't see my pain. He doesn't see what I'm going through. He doesn't see my trials. He doesn't see my spouse. Oh, God, he doesn't see that one. He doesn't see my children. They're driving me crazy. He doesn't see those people I got to work with. I know he doesn't see that. And he definitely doesn't see the people I work with at church. Oh. He doesn't see anything. And Isaiah's response was, have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait upon the Lord, that wait in the Greek means to bind together like twisting, like a rope. It's not waiting for God. I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm, No, it's like I'm binding together with him. I'm in his word. I'm in prayer. I'm like, God, what is it that you have for me today? Who is it you want me to speak to? What's today? Where's my journey taking me with you today? I'm excited. I'm waiting on you. I've asked you for some things and I haven't got an answer. Just wanted you to know, I'm still waiting. But I'm not going to sit there until you give me an answer because you and I got things to do. But there's an expectation that an answer is coming. I think it was about 21, maybe 22 years ago. I got asked to speak at a Sunday morning service. I was much younger then. It might even been earlier. It might even been like 24. I was probably in my late 20s. I was excited. I was nervous. It was a Sunday morning service. And the Lord gave me a message on faith out of Genesis chapter 1 in the creation. And then after he gave it to me, every time I try to write down notes, I would go blank. And he says, I don't want you to take any notes up there. I'm like, this is my first Sunday morning. He says, this is a message on faith. Will you trust me? This is my first Sunday morning. Will you trust me? So I was like warring with God all week long. I get to church that morning. I'm like frazzled. And this elderly lady comes up to me and she says, I don't know if this means anything, but the Lord told me that you just need to trust him. It's going to be okay. I says, thank you very much. Message went really great. But during the time that I was studying it, I remember I was reading through Genesis 1. I was like, God kept telling me there was something more there, but I couldn't see it. So every year, maybe a couple times throughout the year, I'd go through Genesis first few chapters just to see if he was going to speak to me about it, and he never would. Asking him, waiting, binding together with him, Lord, where's it at? Where's that secret? Nothing. Year after year after year. Then November of last year, I was in the prayer room, and I opened up Genesis once again to see if there was anything there. And it's like everything just started opening up. And I said, there it is, after 20-something years. Yes! In the beginning, God created, and that's where it started. It said the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Lord says, I want to hover over hearts and minds. I want to brood over there. I want to gently just hold them and caress them, and then I want to speak and produce a clean and pure heart. I want to speak and produce victory. I want to speak and produce steadfastness. He says, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast. That means to be stood upright, perpendicular. A steadfast spirit in me. Many of you are bent over spiritually. You're victims. You're beaten down. You're weary. You're exhausted. And God's saying, I want to renew you. I want you to be standing up. Tall, strong in me. Strong in the Lord and the power of his spirit. That's what he has for us. That's what he has for you. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart. In the beginning, God created. He created. Your journey starts today. And he's going to create today. Things are going to change. Last Tuesday, when I was speaking, I got to experience an anointing that was just unusual. It's the only way I can describe it. My wife experienced it a couple weeks before that when she spoke. She was trying to explain it to me, and I didn't understand it. So hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying, but maybe not. But in the midst of that anointing, after I was done speaking, I had like 3 or 4 days where everything was different. It was really strange. It was like things were just easier. Battles that were normally hard were just really easy. It was like easy not to go there. It was easy just to keep my mind on the Lord. It was just easy. And I was like, what is this? I mean, I was thankful, but I'm like, and God says, this is what I'm about to do. I'm going to create. I'm going to do what you can't do. I want to tell you something right now. This is my heart to you from the Lord. God loves you, and he's proud of you, each and every one of you. He is really proud of you. Sometimes you think that you're not trying hard enough, you're not doing enough because you fail. And God doesn't look at you that way. He's excited about you. He's excited about who you are. He's excited that you keep going, that you keep rising back up, that you haven't given up. He's excited. See, we have this warped view of how we view God. As I've been learning these last 3 or 4 years about deliverance and healing and overcoming strongholds. And I mean, I've been in this whole thing for over 30 years, but these last 3 or 4 years have been like revolutionizing my life. And I have to go back at everything that I've learned and relearn it because I realized I didn't see it through the right grid. Because we see things through the theological or belief system, the theological grid or the belief system that we currently have, right? So if I believe something about the Word of God, then I translate everything through that. So I went back and I started looking at like generational curses and things like that. And I stumbled on something that just blew my mind. I just sat there and wept when I read it. Remember when Jesus was talking and the Pharisees were basically testing him again? And he just called them wicked and he says, you know, you persecuted the prophets from, I don't remember where it started, all the way until, you know, Zacharias at the altar, and he goes, the blood of all of them until now is going to be on this generation. I think he said the curse of it. Basically, the curse that has followed through all of your entire lineage, he says, is going to be held accountable on this generation. I'm like, what a pronouncement that Christ would give them. I'm like, the weight of that. I'm holding you accountable for everything that's happened before you. And I'm like, that's like judgment. And then the Lord says, and then, this is what he spoke to my heart. He says, and then I'm going to take this to the cross and bear it all because I'm a part of this generation. This is the generation I've been born into. And all of the judgment is going to fall on this generation, and I'm going to take all that judgment to the cross so that you can have another chance. See, we think God wants to judge us. He doesn't. He wants to restore us. He wants to release us and build us and send us forth into greater things for his kingdom and his glory. But you've been held back because your belief system is telling you that he doesn't care about you. That he's not going to forgive you again. That he's tired of you, and he's not. He just wants us to come into agreement with him. He wants us to come into agreement with who he is. Says we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. You were created to do good. You were created to be good. You were created to be holy and pure in his name. That is what he did. You were created. The God who creates spoke. You were born again. And you and when you came into that, you came into something divine that was prepared beforehand for you. See, we didn't even have to try to figure it out. It's there. The problem is we're always trying to figure it out. We get frustrated with the journey because we don't know the answers. I am at a place in my life, I get excited every time I talk about it because I'm a guy that always had to know where I was going, what I was doing, and why. Okay, in my 20s, it was like I was bad. I had to be in control. I had to know what the outcome was going to be. I'm at a place now where I don't care anymore. Sometimes it's hard. I'm not going to tell you it's always easy, but I don't have to have answers. Just show me what I need to do next, Lord, because I've seen him bring an end result so many times now that I just realize if I just keep taking steps, I'm going to end up there sooner or later, wherever there is. I'm going to get there. I just have to be obedient and take the next step. And then the next step. Those first steps are hard, though. I mean, there might be individuals the Lord's been laying on your heart that he wants you to pray for, and you know, I don't want to pray for them. He's like, I want you to. Maybe he wants you to do something for them. Help them in some way. Maybe there's somebody he wants you to give to. Maybe there's somebody he wants you to reach out to. And we're like, oh, I don't feel like it. We get caught up in this stronghold. I was trying to think of a different word, but that's what I do for a living, strongholds. We get caught up in these strongholds, that negative strongholds that tell us lies about people. And we believe it. Because you know what? Sometimes it's just easier to believe the lie than it is to believe the truth. Because believing the truth requires effort. It requires me to be countercultural sometimes. It requires me to stand against the grain, and I don't want battles. I just want to get along. And the Lord's challenging us to rise up in him and to allow him to do something unique, something great in our hearts. Joanna, can I get you up here? Where's she at? Did I lose Johanna? Somebody find her for me. He wants to create that clean heart within us. He wants us to be able to enter into all the things he's promised us. He's given us, the Bible says, exceedingly great and precious promises. They've been given to us, but the only way we can enter into those is for him to create within us the heart that we need to receive those things. In Psalms 119, he says, Lord, enlarge my heart. In other words, I need a bigger heart to receive from you. Once again, God has to do it. He has to enlarge our heart. He has to create within us a clean heart. He has to bring it to pass. Let's just wait on the Lord. Father, we just wait upon you. Lord, I just know you want to do something in hearts tonight. I know you want to release, Father, healing, forgiveness, cleansing, purity of heart. Set your heart on him. That scripture, your prayer, Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Father, create within us. It's nothing we can do of our own strength or our own volition. We wait on you. There's areas the Lord is highlighting, things that, sins that have been so easily besetting you, sins that have been holding you down, maybe lusts of your heart, desires that were not of the Lord. Just begin to give those to him right now. Confess them to him. Just quietly before him say, Lord, I just give this to you. Us from receiving from you tonight. Tonight's the beginning. The beginning of a journey. Tonight the line is being drawn in the sand. From this point forward, Lord, we are believing you to break in power. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you begin to create within each and every one here, Lord. Those who have come before you, create within them a clean heart. Do only what you can do, Lord. Break in, Lord, with your holiness and your purity. Break in with your love. There's an internal struggle that you're having with bitterness. There is an individual or individuals that you have not forgiven. They've wounded you. The Lord's highlighting them right now. If that's you, you need to give that person to the Lord. You need to say, Lord, I forgive them. And if you're struggling, say, Lord, help me to forgive them. I desire to do your will, but I need you to help me. You can't hang on to that thing. The Bible says, beware lest any root of bitterness spring up and defile the whole man. Bitterness will destroy you. It's like a spiritual cancer that will eat you from within. And the Lord's saying, give it to me. Forgive. Thank you.
God's heart is for you. He desires you. He desires you to walk in victory. There's a longing in his heart, a longing for a cleansing to take place in your hearts. And as this cleansing begins to take place, you will be drawn closer to your God. I see some of you in this room right now. It's like your head is in darkness. You feel like a cloud over your head, and it's so dark, and you can't seem to think straight. Much confusion is what I hear. And I hear the Lord say, come, come, come into the light. Come into the light. In the name of Jesus, let the darkness be lifted. Let the cloud be lifted in the name of Jesus. Lord, release your power in this room. Accomplish the work that you desire to do tonight. I want you to raise your hand if you felt that was you. That you feel like your head is in a cloud of darkness and you can't seem to see straight spiritually. And you're in confusion. Receive from him tonight in the name of Jesus. For he has given you the victory. He has paid a price for your freedom. In the name of Jesus. Into the light. Into Jesus.
Just engage your heart with the Lord and worship Him. Lord, we wait upon You. We bind together with You. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. To do something new in your heart. Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to let go of that individual? Are you willing to let go of that thing that pulls you away from the Lord? Are you willing to reach forward? We can't reach forward unless we let go of the thing that is behind us.
God, Come have your way. Come have your way. Come have your way. Come have your way.
Come have your way, Lord Jesus. Continue to press in. We wait upon you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. To those that are weary right now, I ask that you bring strength. I declare strength, a steadfast spirit, Lord, that they may once again stand upright, standing tall in your presence and by your strength, O God. I say restore. Restore, Lord, their strength. Restore their health. Lord, let them once again boldly approach your throne of grace, that they may obtain grace and mercy in time of need. Stand up, man of God. Stand up, woman of God. Stand up, child of God. Peace, Lord Jesus.
More and more and more.
my breath away. I love you more, more and more each day. You take my breath away. I love you more. Ooh, you with the eyes of fire burning in my soul. Hey, what is wool? You with the eyes of fire looking deep within. I love you more and more.
God is stirring your heart right now. I want you to stand up. To stand up if he's stirring your heart. Now I'm just following the direction of the Lord. I want you to place your hand right here. And now I want you to speak life. Say life. I speak life.
Speak life.
I speak life.
Speak life.
I speak life.
Speak life.
I speak life. Come alive. He wants to come alive. He doesn't want to be buried. He wants life, life, life to be released within you.
Life.
Life. Oh, da 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 da. He's moving right now. He's moving. He's releasing life into you. that are standing and putting their hands there, right on, I don't know what's this area called, your stomach. I want you to shout with me again. He's doing something. Allow yourself to receive from Him. We speak life. No darkness. We speak life.
Release life. Your life.
Heal you. Life. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to life. Your life. We receive from you, Lord.
Yes.
Where there is light, there is no darkness. Oh, Jesus. Lord, it's time for a change. It's time for a change, oh God. Change lives tonight. Change lives tonight, Lord. Oh, rain on us, Lord. Rain on us, Lord. With your glory. Rain on us, Lord. River of life, Lord. Your river of life. Breaking things in lives. Break. Break. Break, Lord. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Move by the power of your Spirit in this room and tear down the strongholds, oh God. Thank you.
Let your glory,
glory is in this room. Your glory is in this room.
Song. Just want you just to engage your hearts with the Lord. I believe each day he just wants to go a little bit deeper. So today we're just gonna
we honor you.
His presence is here. We just want to just end with worshiping him.
Everybody to begin to lift their voices to a holy God. Honor him tonight. His glory is in this room.
Holy,
only one word to describe.
Only one.
Only one word comes to mind. There's only one word to describe.
God Almighty.
thank you for what you've done in hearts tonight. Father, I thank you for what you've done. Breakthrough that you've given. Lord, just help us each night to press in deeper to what you have for us. Lord, we are here for you, to receive from you. Lord, I declare your blessing, Father, over your people. Bless them, Father, with a clean and pure heart. Bless them, Lord, with a steadfast spirit. Bless them, Lord, with a heart of worship and adoration unto you. Let your glory, Lord, leave with them. Follow them throughout the day, Lord, and let your glory rest upon them tonight. Speak to them, Lord, in dreams and visions. Lord, let your word become life. Life, Lord. Lord, as you had us declare, Lord, let life be released. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to serve you, to worship you, and to praise your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. We will be meeting again at 6:30 tomorrow.